Jazz Hockey at the T-Mobile store in the IDS Center this Friday, September 15th from 11 to 1 for your chance to meet Minnesota Twins slugger Miguel Sano. Details, KFAN.com, keyword events. And while you're at it, tweet at KFAN1003
with the hashtag MVP table promo, and you could win a VIP table for the football feast. Buffalo Wild Wings in Coon Rapids this Friday, September 15th. Must be 21 plus. Enter no purchase necessary. Details, KFAN.com, keyword contest.
How long are you going to talk?
Got a lot today.
Gosh, what is this, the AJ show over here? Jeez.
I mean, Pear Bear hasn't said anything in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Mark, tell him to pipe down.
Yeah, zip it, AJ.
That's true. The Fargo Flash joins us weekly during the Gopher football season to break down all things Golden Gophers.
Yeah.
We got a 2-0 football squad for the first time in...
Too long.
50 or 60 years, we have a
2-0 debut head coach, right? It's been a long, long time, right?
Since 1949 like, or something
Murray
crazy.
Warmath or yeah. something, right? Was the last one to do it.
Yep.
Also, the 48 points that the Gophers scored on the road against the Beavers. Thank you, Sauce.
The Beaver.
Most since they put up 49 against Northwestern in 1980. So they're breaking records.
It was a Denny Green Northwestern team, by the way.
Is that right? Yep. Take that, Denny Green.
Yep. Fun fact.
The late Denny Green.
Sure. 2-0, the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Before we talk Demaree Croft and what's going on there, or speculate or guess, or just throw out random rumors, let's talk about the 2-0 squad. They obliterated that team after Oregon State got back into it. I watched almost all that game. It was 17-0.
Yep.
Oregon State gets back into it quickly, and you're going, oh, God, are we really going to blow this?
Here we go again.
And then it was just destruction, right? The defense did everything right. Shannon Brooks was a monster. Rota didn't do a lot, but everything they asked him to do, he did really well.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that we've talked about for the 19 years I've been here. You always look for that week one to week two improvement. I've always believed that that's the most improvement that you will see. Coach Fleck disagrees a bit. He thinks you see it week in and week out. But the improvement that we saw was significant in the offensive line first. The offensive line play in week one was a bit atrocious. I think that was a probably better Buffalo team than we originally thought. But that being said, the way that that team came out and got enough push, again, we don't need to have Lombardi Award winners at every position that can drive guys 10 yards back, but enough push to let Shannon Brooks and Rodney Smith get to that second level, get to those linebackers. So that part was significantly improved. I thought Connor Rota earned the starting position in that game. If you looked at the way that he handled that offense with a lot of confidence, and when they asked him to throw, he did enough with it. He went and found Tyler Johnson for another big interception or a touchdown reception in that game. And then I thought the defensive front seven played better than they've probably even played week one. That defensive front seven, they run more of a 3-4 scheme. Not what P.J. Fleck originally intended to do. That's not the scheme that he brought here. But given the linebacker depth that he has and the lack of depth in the defensive line, he goes with a lot of athletes that can run. So they got off the edge against Oregon State in a big way and put a lot of pressure, especially when that game got close. And then the area that I picked on a lot in week one was the defensive backs, especially the cornerbacks. That play was also much improved in week two. And so I didn't call 48-14. And so when you look at that game, and again, I don't know if it's the barometer of a season will come down to week two Oregon State, but the way they put that team away in the second half, I thought was super impressive.
Went up high for it!
So let's talk about Demaree Croft in game before we talk about Demaree Croft out of game. He got basically benched in that game because he tried the scoop and score, and P.J. Fleck says, we never do the scoop and score try on offense. On defense, I assume a lot of defensive coordinators like it. Go for it. Try to convert. On offense, it's about re-securing the ball, and it sounds like Demaree tried to pick it up, and Fleck was hating that.
Yeah, and let's think of the position that he's in. So Connor gets the start, and that's great for Connor, and I think they go in there kind of the co-starters they're going to rotate. Well, the guy that sits on that bench, I don't care if it's Connor Rota or Demaree Croft, you're sitting there on the bench for the first couple series. It's raining out. It's cooling down. You'd just gone through an hour and a half long warm-up. And so the body changes, and then you're asked to go out on the field, that quarterback position. It's a wet ball. It's a packed stadium. It's gotten darker out. The lights are on. And so you put him in a tough situation. But that being said, you're right. When that ball is fumbled at the quarterback position, you can do everything that you can and jump on it and save it. And he took a little bit more of a nonchalant in a way that they do not coach. And I don't think that was the nail in the coffin, but it just seemed that he wasn't ready to take command of that offense. It's almost like the body language. You could just see, even on TV, the way that Connor approached that huddle and approached the line of scrimmage, it looked like the guy that wants to be the guy.
Went up hard for it!
With Demaree out this week, who's the backup?
Seth Green.
Okay.
So if you remember, Seth Green was a local guy, played out at East Ridge, started as a freshman, transferred his senior year down to Dallas, wanted to get maybe a bigger, more exposure for recruiting. originally committed to Oregon when Oregon was the program in college football. Oregon goes through a coaching change. I think he has second thoughts. Comes back up north to Minnesota. Didn't have a great spring practice. Remember, he was wrapped up in some of the off-the-field stuff last fall. And so, again, playing with, you know, needing to really prove that he's worthy to play on the field. So he comes in super talented from a recruiting standpoint. Hasn't shown it yet here at Minnesota, but who knows? He might get his chance on Saturday.
Middle Tennessee on Saturday. Demaryius Croft will not be with the team. It sounds like yesterday PJ Fleck said personal reasons first, and then all the waves came out after that, that this is not a sick relative. This is not a family emergency of some kind that he needs to be away from the team. It sounds like it's disciplinary. He said, let me read this quote here, even though we probably have the soundbite somewhere. He said, quote, if you do not do the right things academically, athletically, socially, or spiritually, if you do not uphold the high, high expectations of our culture on and off the field, you will not play. It does not matter who you are. So he did something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something off the field happened that is against their team policies. You could speculate now exactly what it is. It's some type of substance abuse, sexual assault. I mean, who knows what it is? I think what they do right away is make sure he's removed from the program, and now they'll assess the situation to see how long this being off the team will be, and who knows?
I mean, and it sounds like it might not be short. Again, I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, we
AP
don't know.
John Krasinski last night on Barrero basically said he would not be surprised if it's multiple weeks, and the way he worded it was he has not been kicked off the team yet.
It's a big
deal.
Weird
way to word that. That's too bad.
And you know, and again, for the future of the program, he is the guy. You know, Connor Rhoda is a fifth-year senior. He's going to be down here in 9 games. So he was the guy that was getting some experience, even preparing to play in week out, even though he might not be the guy in the field. And so from a program standpoint, it's a big deal if PJ Fleck look at his most seasoned guy that will be coming back in 2018. And so it's you know, he said from day one he holds these rules up high, and he's not going to make any compromises for any player, including Demaryius Croft. So that being said, Middle Tennessee State's a good team. Middle Tennessee State goes to Syracuse last week. They win 30-23. Week one, they lost to Vanderbilt, a pretty good Vanderbilt team, on the road, 26-6. And so this is a legitimate team. I've always said through the entire non-conference, this would be the most challenging opponent that they would play. They have a quarterback who's actually the son of the head coach. He's a junior. He has a ton of passing records for Middle Tennessee State. They have some dynamic, speedy receivers that are young. One's a true freshman. One's a redshirt freshman. And then defensively, they have a coordinator that went to Syracuse last week and held them over 93 plays to a little bit more than just 3 yards of play. And so they felt defensively on the road at Syracuse, they played exceptionally well. And so it's a team that has a lot of confidence. They had a winning record. They went bowling a year ago. And so for Minnesota, this is one of those trap games in my mind. You got Middle Tennessee State coming here. You feel great about being 2-0. You got a week off after this to prepare for a really good Maryland team. And so this is the week that's the toughest week for a head coach to coach kids 18 to 22 years old, because they're in that second week of school and there's a little bit of a lull, and you think you've kind of come of age because you put up 48 points against a fair, if not below average, Oregon State team. This is the week to really grab those kids' attention.
Win up hard for it!
So have you seen enough from Connor Rhoda and this offense that when you look at the Big Ten schedule, and it's much more difficult than it was a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Where the Gophers had a pretty easy schedule.
It is.
Do you still see optimism more so than you did 2 weeks ago, or are you still nervous that they can't maybe pull it off against some of the bigger boys?
Well, I see optimism in a couple different ways, guys. I think our play, again, I think that improvement from week, if the improvement that I liked from week one to week two was great, and PJ Fleck likes to see it week in and week out, I'm hoping it's not trap week. I hope we see another type of improvement that's pretty significant from week two to week three to really seal this non-conference schedule, to feel great about your team. So I feel better about the play in the field. I did not feel good about that offensive line play and the defensive back play after week one. Significantly better last week. And when you look at the Big Ten, that's the second part of it, it's a bit mixed, right? You got a Nebraska team that's a bit struggling, a Northwestern team that's struggling, which we thought they would both be pretty formidable opponents. You have a Wisconsin team that struggled last week against Florida Atlantic. I think Purdue's better than people expected, but still it's Purdue. Illinois seems to struggle. Iowa seems, again, not to be that really strong 10-2 type of Iowa team. Maryland does seem better than originally thought of. And then I think Michigan's still playing great Michigan football. So when I look at the schedule, I think it's still somewhat favorable. So again, barring some type of issues like we have this week with Demaryius Croft or any injury issues, if this team can stay healthy and can improve week to week, and the Big Ten West starts to show some weakness, I still feel great about 9-3.
Couple things real quick for you, Fargo Flash, before we get you out of here. Connor Rhoda, this is something I didn't know. Maybe you already spoke about this. I'm sorry if you did. I was reading the paper a moment ago.
Oh, thanks, bud.
I highlighted this because I wanted to ask you about it specifically. Connor Rhoda, named the Gopher starting quarterback Monday, was a week from seeking employment in the field of medical sales last year because he was told by then-coach Tracy Clays that his scholarship was not going to be renewed.
Yes.
My goodness, how things change. Had he just underperformed? Was he not right for Tracy Clay's offense? How do you go from almost having your scholarship taken away to being your starting quarterback who looked really good last week?
I know, and if you think, so what happened last year is that they informed him before the last game to say, hey, bud, this program doesn't have a vision for you in it. On senior day, let's have you go out with the departing seniors as a junior.
Really?
I always find that the most interesting game because I sit there to see, so what juniors are they going to kind of kick out of the campus? And he was on there. I was a bit surprised. The first phone call that Coach PJ Fleck made was to Connor Rhoda.
Wow.
Because he had heard enough about, hey, you have no experience at quarterback. And although this kid has just one game starting in one last year, he is a fifth year guy that's been around here. He knows to play some football. He's kind of a insurance policy, if you will. So he gets hired on a Friday, he brings him Saturday morning, and offers him a scholarship. Connor Rhoda was a walk-on before this, so offers him a scholarship, and albeit the chance to become the starter. And so he's done that. So you think about this guy had really said goodbye to football,
sure.
And then within a week he's back in, and not just back in, but back in as the starter.
And we've learned through Tommy Olsen that you can just wait and get into medical sales later.
Yes, take a year off, party, go to Vegas, tan.
That's number one. Number two thing from today's newspaper about your Golden Gophers, the year 2021. Which sounds like a made-up year, but it'll be five years, something like that.
Will be Cade's senior year.
Yeah. I'll be dead.
Minnetonka Skippers 2022 champions.
Wow. The opening game for your Golden Gophers of the year 2021 will be...
Buckeyes!
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Oh. Wow.
How about that? Game one.
September 5th? Was that the date?
September 5th.
We should check to see if that's that Thursday of Labor Day. Gosh, I hope it's not.
They'll
pack it.
Why are they just completely scheduling cupcakes?
Right.
After you saw what happened last week.
2021.
A couple other things that are needing that schedule too, guys. The Iowa games, right? Or the Wisconsin games, I believe, get moved up. The Iowa games get moved up. A couple of those years, the end season, which is typically a rivalry game, will actually be Nebraska in some of those years. So there's a BYU scheduled in there too as well, I believe. So they're slowly improving that schedule, and I think it's neat to play the Big Ten opener week one, which be ready to play. Indiana had that chance to do it this year and got smoked by Ohio State, kept it close for a while, but that should bring some fan interest early to Gopher football in the season.
Sweet. So. Can't wait. Well, you know what the Power at Your Morning Show says about Gopher football.
Win up hard for it!
Yeah, man. That's right.
We got a Vikings team that's 1-0. We got a Gopher team 2-0. We got a Minnetonka 8th grade little Skippers team that's 1-0.
Wow, that's
playing Wayzata Saturday at 10:30
before the Maryland game. You're rubbing it in now to the Spartans, aren't you?
Well, we took Orno on to a 22-0 victory last Saturday. So if you want to come by Minnetonka High School Veteran Stadium, kind of your old stomping ground, would you come and give us a pregame speech?
Yeah.
A little motivational speech about 9:45 before our warm-up?
And
take the field at 10:30?
And to go full circle, Minnetonka also tried to kick Meat Sauce out after his junior year.
Yeah, no, my senior year. After the second game, the offensive coordinator walked in and said, if I was the coach of this team, you wouldn't be on it. So guess what I did? Mentally quit.
And then you physically.
You showed him.
Quit.
Did you quit?
Of course.
Well, it's payback time.
Duh.
Come back.
Of course.
Become a mentor for these kids. Yeah. Little motivational speech, 9:45 Saturday morning.
Yeah.
See you there.
I'll just show them a picture of my old teeth.
I'll fire the kids up.
Kids are going to be like, it's Halloween?
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Go,
bye.
Gophers.
Bye.
Vikings news is next. Power Trip Morning Show here on The Van. She's coming.